From the kids on the couch to the radical rest home dreamers, we are all looking for living arrangements. 2 weeks ago, we launched a series about human architecture, new ways of living alone and together. Many of you told us of interesting experiments underway, from the islands of British Columbia to urban Ontario and rural Quebec, even from a deep, dark forest. We'll check them all out for you. As Robin Braidwood of Coquitlam wrote, "This feeds a hunger I believe gnaws at us, nourishing a need to see possible living arrangements in fresh, slightly spicy, warm ways." Well, in that spirit this morning, here's Kyla Hannington. She has pushed a few envelopes, and she is a member of a growing demographic, the LATs, Lats Living Apart Together. Kyla Hannington is in Prince Rupert.
My husband lives in another country, on another coast. We are separated by both a continent and a generation. Sometimes, when we are together, I pause, made breathless by the luxury of seeing him in person, breathless with the wonder that we are together at all. "How did this happen?" I will say. "Take me through it again," as if I wasn't there, as if I haven't lived through it. It doesn't hurt that Dan is a minister, and I am the sort of person who cringes the moment I step through a sanctuary door. "God," I said, the first weekend we were together, "I can't believe I'm in bed with a reverend. That's so naughty." "Well," said Dan, "technically you're not." He explained reverend is an honorific, a title. "If you were in bed with a judge, you wouldn't be in bed with an honorable." "That's tomorrow night, Dan." Dan's opinion that first weekend? He couldn't believe he was with a 39-year-old tattooed woman. Dan was 65. I am constantly amazed that a boy born on a summer's day in upstate New York in 1948 ended up with a girl born on an island off the west coast of Canada in the middle of a dark winter's night in 1973. We first met 10 years ago, but until that weekend we spent together, I hadn't seen him for 8. On July 2nd, I sent him an email for the first time in eons, and on January 2nd, we got married. Outside, in the snow, in northern BC, where I now live. The wedding seemed in keeping with our relationship, thus far a little non-traditional. There's the age, there's the rapidity, there's that he lives in Maryland, and I live here. A woman I recently met asked me what he does, what keeps him living so far away. "Actually, he's retired," I say. "He's a bit older than me and has grandchildren nearby." "Oh," exclaims the woman. "So it's like an Anna Nicole Smith thing." I raise my hand to protest, but she carries on. "You marry them old," she says, "and then they die and you get their money." She is actually excited by the thought. "No," I reply, "I don't want him to die." "Not now, okay, but in 5 years, he dies and you get his money. Wouldn't that be great?" "No, no," I say, "it would not be great. It would not be great." One thing about marrying someone 25 years older than me is that it makes a person keenly aware, I am, and so is he, of the actuarial tables. No one knows how long they get on this earth, but it seems likely he will predecease me. I dread that. Having been surprised by love later in life, I am grateful for whatever time we get. 20 years, 15, anything. When someone my own age gets excited on my behalf, anticipating the death of the person I've just married, I am truly baffled. So this is how you're perceived when you marry someone who is much older than you. There are those who assume I married him for money. Some assume he married me for sex. I certainly hope at least part of the reason he married me is for sex. I mean, that should be obvious. But the underlying belief behind these assumptions is that our relationship must, at some level, be a sham. What possible value could a 65-year-old man have other than money? As for me, what possible value could a younger woman have but her appearance? What else could it be? Both of us are happy that I don't look like the stereotypical trophy wife, a term I find offensive and degrading to all women and to all such relationships. I weigh exactly twice as much as Dan. He is particularly slight. I am particularly not. And it says something that both of us are a little bit grateful for that. as suddenly the fact that I am not stereotypically attractive is an asset. Because I look how I do, people might take our relationship a little bit more seriously. There will be, we hope, fewer assumptions about what motivates Dan. But still, he has a friend who has stopped speaking to him altogether, and I have complete strangers telling me how great it will be when the man I've just married pops off. My husband and I live 3,000 miles apart. We snatch weeks together when and as we can. We plan for a time that we can live together full-time, subsequent to the approval of the necessary visas. We long for that time. And in the interim, I am unspeakably grateful for those rare moments in which I am able to do something as simple as reach out my hand and touch his face. Maybe that's what I can't communicate to those who do not know us well. We are separated by a continent and a generation. There might be a lot about that that doesn't make sense, and maybe it doesn't have to. There are those who will assume I have gone for money and he for sex, like we are engaged in socially acceptable prostitution. But for me, it is far more simple. I am amazed and enchanted that this Canadian girl should have connected with that American boy, and that both years and miles can be rendered insignificant. For the Sunday edition, this is Kyla Hannington in Prince Rupert.